Knowledge Fire.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy and Kansas. Stop it. Andy and Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot today, Jordan. This is dangerous.
Yeah. What's dangerous?
Well, it's mustard.
Uh-oh.
Is my bright spot.
What about it?
Well, here's what's dangerous.
Okay.
I'm thinking about doing a year of mustard.
That is dangerous.
I have, for the last couple weeks, been getting just really invigorated with enjoying mustards.
Okay.
I might have gotten a couple different varieties of mustard that are like... One of them is too mustardy.
One's too mustardy.
But I love it.
You love it.
Yes.
You love the extra mustard.
Ooh, but it's so much mustard. But it's delicious. And I'm thinking about really trying to incorporate this into my personal brand.
Yeah.
So just kind of like a mustard guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a kind of guy.
I mean, I think Twitter, it will eventually say, new kind of guy just dropped.
Uh-huh.
Mustard guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot to explore in terms of the world of mustard.
Sure.
And I think I could get 69 mustards down. But I've also learned my lesson from the seltzers, and I don't want to bite off more than I can chew. But look, I'm going to put the world on notice. I'm going to be eating a lot of mustard.
All right. You're going to eat a lot of mustard.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be a contest. You can just love mustard.
But that's how my brain works.
It is kind of how your brain works, isn't it?
You need to turn things into a pageant of some sort.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, a lot of mustard's coming.
I like it.
Yep. How about you? What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is we played Scattergories.
It's true.
We got together with...
Oh, a secondary bright spot based on your bright spot. The moment when our friend Sarah Shockey
yes.
opened up the Taboo box.
Yes, and it was
that
completely
she had been wanting to play
the whole night.
And no, you have lost the pieces of your Taboo game.
It's in a baggie somewhere.
But I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, we got together with close friends of the show, sister podcast, Marty and Sarah, and played Scattergories, and I have not played Scattergories in a long time.
Yeah.
And it is a very fun game to play.
It is.
And it was also the first time that I played it way too high to play a word game.
It's true, and it made it, like, I was not high, because
no.
I don't usually partake that much
no.
in the weed, except for as a, like, it found some, it helps with sleep a little bit.
Yeah, 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 totally.
I have enjoyed some gummies for sleep purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking as the non-stoned person in the room.
Did you win?
I did.
Yeah.
But also, a little frustrating to try and argue whether or not words count with three stoned people. That is an experience that, it's rare.
It is rare.
In my life.
It is.
And it will stay rare.
In the future, it will never happen again.
No, I'll subject myself to it a bunch, probably, because you guys like the grass.
Oh, no.
I say,
we like
to
the
sound
gories.
Like a narc.
We like the gories, buddy.
Oh, you guys like that, fuck, I can't even come up with another dorky way other than the grass.
The rebel dangerous knight.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
It was
nice
a great night.
To play some games.
Yep, it was a good bright spot.
Also, Codenames. Played a little
Codenames. Codenames, that's a fun game.
It is a delight. So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over. We're going to go back to the past because I'm putting Alex way back in timeout.
Excellent.
So, after our last episode, I felt really shitty because I had given Alex too much of a benefit of a doubt about his medical condition that he was
right.
using to get out of his deposition.
Yes.
On Friday, he got back on his show and announced that, hey, I just had like a little sinus thing.
Great.
Right.
Good work.
So,
thanks, buddy.
I don't know what to believe, whether that's saving face about an actual medical condition that he has because
sure.
he doesn't want the people to look at him as weak.
Right.
Or if it's a situation where the Connecticut case, the lawyers had already left and now he knew he wasn't going to have this deposition he had to do, and so now the facade can drop,
right?
And what have you. But whatever the case, I felt a little bit like a mark, and that I cared more than I should have.
It is not the first time that this has occurred.
No, and it's kind of one of the downsides of, you know, trying to engage with the work of a liar.
Right.
Sometimes
you can never be sure.
Yeah. And I resent it, and I'm not happy about it. So what I'm going to do, Alex isn't going to be back in the present on our show until episode 666. I'm banishing him.
Eat it, Alex.
I'm banishing him from our show in the present.
Until the devil returns.
Indeed. I think that's fitting.
That is fitting. Absolutely.
So Alex in 2022 will return.
The return of Satan.
On 666. But until then, we are going to be doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have other types of episodes. I have some fun stuff in mind.
Ah, yeah.
And today we're going to be back in the past. We're going to be doing an episode about July 24th, 2003. There's some nonsense. Mm. And then a massive revelation at the end.
Okay.
We're going to talk a little bit about 9/11 and then shocking nonsense.
All right.
But before we do that, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, Jordan. That's a great idea.
So first, DD Mega Doo Doo. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Okay. What was that?
Sorry, I spaced out.
Were you smoking Cali weed?
No, I was not. I spaced out. Sorry.
Next, my 401k is making that money off that heroin. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Joey Votto's biggest fan. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, affirm my wonkdom before the global nuclear holocaust. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
We made it.
Thank you.
Maybe. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's late.
Next, Daddy Shark, ba 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 ba. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Check out next. My name is Captain Poo King of Gravy. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
My liege, thank you very much.
Also, we got a technocrat in the mix.
Oh,
I had to say before I say this name, I do not approve of this.
You don't approve
at
of
all.
All right,
but thank you so much. Knowledge Fight stays on during sex. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back. And I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'm doing all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you, but at the end of the day, fuck you and your New World Order, and fuck the horse you rode in on, and all your shit. Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month, maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow, and you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
He's not, and nor was he in the past.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, but you know what is better than Alex?
Listening to our show while having sex?
No.
That's stuck in my brain for the rest of my life. It scares me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yep.
No, but something that is great is we have a special birthday, happy birthday to send out to a very special policy wonk out there.
Okay. Okay.
So Huxley, your mother Stephanie reached out and wanted us to wish you a happy birthday. And look, I don't know how else we can make this like a really special birthday. So I heard you're a big fan of John Oliver.
Sure.
And so we actually got him to come in and wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, wow.
Along with us.
No way.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I can't do a John Oliver.
Damn it. Jordan,
I did a
Kissinger impression. You can't do that one either.
I can't do a John Oliver. I can't do a Kissinger. I'm a failure.
But you tried to do a Kissinger.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't whenever it was like, it was an important moment for Huxley, and I didn't want to ruin it with a... Roy.
I wish this was a video thing. Jordan, you did the weirdest fucking movement trying to get into character.
I was trying.
You shrunk a little bit.
I was trying to do something to get into it. I got nothing.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, happy birthday, Huxley.
Happy birthday, Huxley.
I tried to force Jordan to do an impression, and that's a gift for all of us.
That's really close.
So, we're back in 2003, and here's now a context drop from today's show.
My relative
his MS. He weighs 108 pounds.
He's an Al-Qaeda member.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Rude.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah. So here is where the episode starts off. We have our first narrative. And I think one of the things that you're really going to notice about this is that Alex is really into talking about 9/11
sure.
on this this episode.
The big news, poll shows many Germans see U.S. behind September 11th. And I've seen similar major polls out of France, where about 60% of the public believes the U.S. government carried out 9/11. That's 80-plus million people in that country.
Hmm.
And 60-plus percent believe the government did it. Well, no, the government did it. It's an absolute fact. 68% of Germans believe that they're being lied to by the press. A full 30%, or people below 30, a large percent of those below 30 believe the government did it as well. 19% of those below 30.
What statistic is being reported here?
There was a poll of people in Germany.
But what was the statistic? Like, you've listened to him describe it. What was it?
People who believe that the United States did 9/11.
68% is something.
Yes.
30% is something. Maybe 18-19%. I don't know. I've listened to it a bunch of times, and I don't think if you listen to it once, you'd be able to tell what he's talking about. You know the general topic.
Right. He's saying that 70% of Germans believe that the United States did 9/11. Am I correct in that?
No, you're not. Because 68% is apparently the amount that think that the media isn't telling them the truth.
Oh, okay.
About things.
All right.
But
right.
It's unclear from listening to it what is which percent.
Right.
And then he says 30%, but that's actually people under 30.
Yes.
So it's actually 19% of people under 30
right.
think that the United States did 9/11.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How many people in France?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
So, like, if you listen to enough of Alex's show, you'll notice that oftentimes concrete stories are reported in ways that leave you completely unaware of what's actually being reported, and I think that's intentional. But leaving that aside, that clip includes a really interesting little tidbit that I think deserves attention. In 2003, Alex is perfectly comfortable saying definitively that it's proven fact that the government did 9/11. In the present day, when he's asked about it, Alex hedges his position and tries to pretend that, yeah, he just had some questions about the official story.
I was just asking questions.
In the past, he'll say that he knows the name of the perpetrators, like everybody in the organization. But you flash forward to today, and he would never make that type of claim or like put himself in a position where he's like, I will name names. I've talked about this a little bit in the past, the idea of wet concrete, how the immediate aftermath of an event is essentially wet concrete where you can make an impression in it very easily, but if you wait for the concrete to dry, it's really hard to get your narrative to make a dent. You can't write your name in the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very large part of why people like Alex really try to spam their theories hard and fast. But there's a side aspect of this dynamic where, in order to make your immediate theories seem more convincing to people in those early times, you have to be completely emphatic in your certainty. People are looking for answers, and you seem like a bad source of answers if you present your theories as possibilities that you can't prove. You have to push them as if you have a rock-solid case, or else you run into the risk of your audience searching for someone else to give them the impression of that certainty that they need in order to comfort them.
Right.
As time goes on, this position needs to soften, because as is always the case with these kinds of conspiracy theories, eventually the foundation of your narratives just fall apart and it becomes too obvious that there was no basis for your certainty in the first place. Like, it's no good to be certain 10 years after the fact when
right.
everything looks stupid.
Right. But the way that this works is, like, it's just different tones of voice of trust me. Depending on where you are in the relationship.
Well,
at the beginning, it's, trust me. You've
right.
got to trust me. I'm so right. And then 10 years later, it's like, yeah, but you can trust me. Mm. I know, but you can trust me.
Trust
you know?
Me.
That kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's an unspoken agreement between the conspiracy theorist and their audience where the theorist satisfies the emotional need for certainty that the audience is looking for, and the audience conveniently forgets later that the things that the theorist was certain about were bullshit. Without this status quo, a show like Alex's could not exist. If Alex didn't provide that certainty, his audience would find him weak. If his audience held him to his past positions and demanded he explain how this certainty about things waned, Alex wouldn't be able to do the show that he does, and thus he'd be unable to provide the audience with that comfort and certainty that they need next time.
Right.
And thus, definitive positions will be taken that are quietly disowned later, and the audience will get ready to unquestioningly believe the next definitive position Alex throws out, and the cycle goes on and on. Just think, like, in the COVID times, how many narratives Alex has announced as definitively proven that he's just kind of forgotten about after it became too clear that it's embarrassing nonsense now. Like, he was having David Icke on to talk about how viruses themselves don't exist.
They don't!
For a while.
Like, and it's like, if you can't let the virus in, if you choose that the energy needs to stay outside of you. Everybody knows this.
That was more of a Carrie thing. Nah. But yeah, this dynamic, I think, is really going to be something that you see pretty... pretty clearly in this episode, I think. Just like the definitiveness of stuff.
Yeah.
That's like, you don't believe that.
Right. I mean, that is really great as far as like showing you what it is that that InfoWars really sells. You know, they sell the feeling of, oh, somebody knows what's going on.
Right.
They sell that feeling.
The feeling of order.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's some comfort you can take, despite the world being horrible, which you already knew it was. There's some comfort in knowing that this man has a grasp on it.
Well, you know? not only that he has a grasp on it, but like because of that grasp that he has, what he is describing is a world that is run by
right.
sort of like A to B to C to D. Predictable events and everything. There's no chaos or randomness.
Right.
There's no like people who have different interests that sometimes align and sometimes don't. You know, like there's none of that chaos. The world works in a comforting
right.
way.
Right.
If
right.
there is a giant conspiracy that runs everything.
Right. Because it's simple.
Right.
Inexplicably, the more. The more complicated and complex the conspiracy is, the more simple it makes people feel like life is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, you can just do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a large part of the certainty and the comfort that Alex sells.
Totally.
But the price is looking like an idiot
the
eventually
world.
For, well, that too. But we didn't know that in 2003.
Right.
So you were asking about France.
Yes.
This has got to be upsetting the globalist to have... more and more people aware of who carried out those attacks. And by the way, the numbers are much higher than what you see in these polls. I mean, over in France, they write books about 911 and government involvement. It sells, you know, 30 million copies. There's only 80-something million people in the country, folks.
At this point, France's population was closer to 61 million people, which seems like me being a little nitpicky, but, like, Alex is, like, 20 million people off.
Yeah.
That's 33%
that's not quite,
off.
Yeah, that's not rounding up.
No. So this book he's talking about is called L'Effroyable Imposture, or The Horrifying Fraud.
Oh, no.
Which is released in English under the title 911, The Big Lie. Since its release, the book has been roundly and comically debunked, and its author, Thierry Masson, is not taken seriously by anybody who recognizes his name.
Mm.
A May 2002 article in Time Europe claims that the book had spent 6 weeks at the top of the French bestseller list, which is no small feat. That's fairly impressive for a book. And I think that's the basis for Alex's outrageous claim that it sold 30 million copies. That number is fucking insane. And a June 2002 article, which is after it would have spent 6 weeks on the top of the charts.
Right.
This article from June 2002 in CNN puts the sales figure at 200,000.
See, it was either that or I believe I remember this book being right there released next to Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I think that, like the same level of...
30 million people, like 30 million books sold in France. Like, you got to consider, like, how many people are under the age of 18.
People, that suggests that they've exchanged, they've turned that book into their national currency.
I would be surprised if it sold 30 million globally.
I would be surprised honestly. If it sold, yeah.
Alex could say the real number, and it would be impressive if you know anything about like book sales or the French book market, but he's aware that his audience isn't going to be dazzled unless the number just jumps off the page. In addition to that, it's really important for Alex to make the image appear to be that people who believe the things InfoWars reports are the majority in the world.
They are legion.
Yeah.
Just because you don't see any of them on your daily basis doesn't mean that they're not everywhere.
Well, right, but that's why it's harder to make that perception stick when you're talking about the United States.
Exactly.
But if it's somewhere exotic like France.
Oh, totally. Like France. Yes.
Yeah, it's easier to convince your audience that, like, basically France is a hotbed of 9/11 truthers.
Fuck it. Luxembourg is in France.
Luxembourg, France.
Luxembourg, France.
Indeed.
They love that
oh,
book.
Oh, my God. They're full of patriots.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, Alex, all right, we got French book numbers. We got a German poll that Alex is reporting weirdly.
Well, there's an incontrovertible proof there.
But fuck that noise. Oh. You don't need any of that stuff.
I don't need any of that?
Alex has done his own polling.
Oh, shit.
Well, let me tell you, I've done my own little poll nationwide on over 1,000 AM and FM stations that I've been interviewed on.
What?
As a guest. Some of them syndicated, some of them little mom and pop AM, some of them big 50,000 watt blowtorches in New York or Rhode Island or KOA and or KFI, I mean LA, Denver, you name it. A lot of you have heard me on those shows, and I'll be on the big ones for 2 hours. Prime time, middle of the night, in the morning, in the afternoon, doesn't matter. Open the phones. They'll take 30 calls. Everybody agrees but one person. They'll say I should be arrested and I should be killed. I mean, you've heard them on the air. You should be killed. You're a traitor. If I ever see you, I'll kill you. I get emails like that. You're working with Al-Qaeda because I expose that our government is Al-Qaeda and controls Al-Qaeda and is not our government and is carrying out the attacks.
So that's not scientific.
I
don't know what conclusions you can draw from the type of calls you get when you guest on radio shows.
I mean, I like the idea of calling that doing a little poll.
Right.
I did a little poll over the past, I don't know how long, for whatever length of time, to whatever number of people on several radio stations and that may or may not exist.
And I found that 1 out of 30 people in America want to kill me.
It's like, what are we talking about?
Dumb. Very dumb.
Yep. what did you research what his actual poll results were?
No, I didn't. Because I don't think that I could ever find these podunk radio show, these no-name ass radio shows that he's been on. I don't think those things have made it.
It doesn't sound like he went. It doesn't sound like he went to Pew. I'll tell you that.
No. So, but look, I say it's not scientific, but Alex kind of, I mean, he draws a lot of meaning from the calls that he gets other people's radio shows.
I mean, I just hope the globalists realize that they can lie all day and put their spin out all day and they can blow more stuff up and kill more people, and we hope they don't, and tell us how they're saving us and telling us we need to love them. They can put the gun to our head of terrorism and say capitulate to tyranny or it's over. But I'm here to tell you, a lot of people are afraid to stand up in church and talk about it, and they're afraid to stand up in their classroom and talk about it, and they're afraid to talk about it in the grocery store. But when I'm on 1,000 plus interviews, it's well over 1,000 now, multiple interviews a day in the last 23 months since September 11th. And I did hundreds of interviews before that, probably 500, 600 in all the years before that, and things have just accelerated since then. And think about that. You talk about a poll. They call a big poll 5,000 people or 1,002 people. All these different polling numbers we see.
The difference between a good and bad poll is all down to methodology. Mm. The number of participants is definitely one of the factors, but it's much more important that the variables are controlled correctly and you end up with a representative sampling of the population, which is something that Alex's dumb radio interview poll doesn't capture at all.
Like, doesn't seem to.
There's a selection bias, first of all, for who asks Alex to be on their shows. What types of shows are these?
Right.
What types of audience is probably listening to a show that would have Alex on as
a
guest?
What type of person would call in when Alex was on as a guest?
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of confounding variables
here. I would say they might be skewed results.
You bet.
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, there's one conclusion you absolutely can draw from Alex's telling of this story, and that is that 9/11 was the best thing that ever happened to him from a career perspective. He went from not really that many people being interested in interviewing him to people banging down the doors to have him on. And that's because he claimed a level of confidence and assuredness in the position he was putting forward, which made him interesting. He wasn't saying that he questioned the mainstream narrative of 9/11. He wasn't saying there were anomalies. He wasn't saying that he had doubts. Those positions would be boring. He was saying loudly and into a bullhorn that it was definitively proven that Bush and his administration did 9/11 and the planes were remote controlled. He had all the evidence dead to rights. They don't even debate it. That makes a person stand out. And when it's someone who has a clear, inherent set of chops like Alex has, this can lead to a little bit of a media windfall. And that's exactly what happened. People were confused and trying to make sense of a national tragedy that's ended up affecting the entire world, and Alex is there bombastically offering answers. They're lies, but it hardly matters. Now, the reason that I bring this up is because it's no longer profitable for Alex to be certain about 9/11. It was in 2002 and 2003. In fact, at that point, being uncertain probably would have been a detriment to Alex's brand. And this is exactly what you see with him in the present day. He's all but disowned pretty much all of the insane bullshit he was pushing back then. You're never going to hear him try to sell a Loose Change DVD on his show or talk about how the hijackers are still alive. That stuff he pretends wasn't a part of making his career, because that would actually be shameful for him to admit.
Yeah.
He never could prove any of that stuff, but because it got him more attention, Alex represented himself as someone who could prove it all. He manipulated people in the aftermath of a huge tragedy for his own profit, and once it was no longer profitable to sell those lies, he moved on and pretended he never said that stuff to begin with and began lying about another tragedy.
Yep.
Alex's career is rooted in tragedy profiteering. The most notable events in his career, the things that put him on a national stage, all of them were things where he was lying about something painful to someone else. Oklahoma City, 9/11, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, the Aurora Batman shooting, all of these are events where Alex sold his completely made-up story in the immediate term, and then now doesn't want to be judged by what he sold, and I don't accept that, and no one should. It's total bullshit.
Yeah, yep. Absolute fucking nightmare.
Yeah, not what a good person would do.
It is odd. Like, it is so fucked up about the way that our media culture is just geared. Like, it is geared towards making a man like Alex Jones a star.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, as you were saying, making those claims immediately makes him interesting.
Well, I mean,
people want to go talk to him.
Think about like the Terry Maison, the guy who wrote that French book. It's definitive claims.
It's 30
saying,
million.
I know I can prove all of this stuff, and then you get 6 weeks at the top of the bestseller list.
Right.
It's kind of hacking that attention.
Absolutely.
Thing that we accidentally built.
Right. Because it's more interesting than, you know, nuance or confusion or just a blanket acceptance of, like, oh yeah, this is a series of random occurrences.
Turn on like NPR, All Things Considered, and they'll be like talking about a story with an expert, like, yeah, it's possible.
This exactly. Is, like, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to bed.
We
fuck
can,
you.
We can see that being one way, or we could see it being the other way.
Oh God, I'm listening to this, and then fucking Garrison Keillor's coming on later. I'm out of here. I'm going to turn on Alex.
I know it's right.
Hey,
okay, I'm listening.
This is satisfying.
I cannot stop.
So look, there's a lot of people out there in the world who believe that 9/11 was a charade.
Especially in France.
And Germany.
That's true.
By the way, Germany's technology minister, about 20 months ago, put out a report. He didn't just make a statement. And by the way, part of his report is in that George Humphrey audiobook we offer on the shopping cart that you can get through to an Infowars.net and the 911 Great Illusion. But
I gotta stop this already. His report is in the audiobook.
Yes.
All right. I don't believe that you read the entire report in the audiobook.
The German technology minister, and the guy's got all these awards. I mean, he's got a head the size of a watermelon. He's got like 170 IQ. He came out and he said it is impossible.
Big old head.
The story is a fraud. The military-industrial complex launched these attacks. I have conducted a detailed analysis. Well, so have we, and so have all these other engineers and hundreds of military officers and everybody else, including the Easter Bunny. And it would be easier for me to fly to the moon, okay, by gluing feathers on my back.
Okay.
I'm not joking.
I'm listening.
I'm serious.
I'm listening.
It would be easier for fire ants to build a rocket in your backyard and go to Mars than for all these things to happen that happen when you add them all together. Okay?
He's serious.
This is not a joke.
No, he's going to tape
this
feathers
is
on
serious.
His back.
I'm going to put some fucking feathers on my back, man.
That wasn't a report that the technology minister did. This is entirely based on an interview that Andreas von Bülow did with a German newspaper called Das Spiegel. It was published on January 13th, 2002. Von Bülow had been out of his position as the technology minister in Germany since 1982.
Ooh, that's bad for a technology minister.
There's a lot of technology that happened between.
It was a huge amount.
Yeah, that 18 years.
There was like four.
More than 18 years. Mm-hmm. 21. He was definitely spouting 9/11 conspiracy theories, but he wasn't saying it from the position of certainty that Alex is claiming. Again, Alex's game relies on creating the fake impression of certainty, and in order for this story to really pop for him, he needs to project that certainty onto all of his sources, including Von Bulow. It's not enough to just say that he gave an interview where he said that he found it unthinkable that the hijackers could have pulled off the attack without intelligence community help. This story needs to be that he proved it.
Right.
And Alex is saying that.
It can't be an old man far out of government going like, man, this is so crazy, it can't be true.
Also, my head is giant.
And I got a huge head.
A major part of this, if you're Alex, is you need to cram certainty down your audience's throat. You want them to think of themselves as questioning and skeptical, but in reality, the most dangerous proposition for you is the idea that they might actually start questioning things, like the things you're saying, and why are you so sure of this?
It doesn't sound as,
You want the artificial air of questioning, not so much the reality.
You want to give people the impression that they are smarter for not asking you questions.
Right.
Yeah.
And repeating the questions that are dead ends that you say all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Pat yourself on the back for that.
You got it.
So, just to be clear, I think Alex now would love for everyone to believe that all he did was say, like, I had questions and, you know, I think the government let 9/11 happen.
That's what he wants people to hear.
Now, that's not at all what he was saying.
Ooh, that's not good.
Again, they can imprison people, they can kill people, they can try to intimidate folks. Everyone is going to know that the government carried out September 11th. It isn't like Pearl Harbor where they let it happen and attacked Japanese submarines that morning in the harbor and tried to cover it up.
Okay, so they did it. It was an active thing.
All right, so now Pearl Harbor was not a false flag.
No, it was.
It was, but it was allowed. It was a real event that could have been stopped.
Yes,
but was allowed to happen.
Mm-hmm, because,
so it might as well have been a false flag.
Right.
Whereas with 9/11,
that was, they did that shit.
George W. got in that fucking plane.
I would say
controlled it.
Remote controls is probably more like Cheney.
Right,
Alex is pretty focused on Cheney.
Yeah,
because he wrote that document that he didn't write. I think that this would be a tough thing for Alex to stand behind in the present day.
Well, it in the years since, it has not come out, and we are not all convinced that the United States government did it.
A shocking number of things that were in the documentary that he produced, Loose Change, it's come out that they are not true. That has come out.
A shocking number. I mean, the only thing that was true was the directed by...
Jason Burmes.
Yeah, exactly. He did.
So you can't kill the truth, though. And Alex has a list of some folks who may be trying.
Who are trying to kill the truth, of course.
There's one person who's conspicuous in their absence.
Ah.
The devil.
Oh, no.
Let them keep lying. Let them keep licking their lips and reading off the teleprompters and all their neocon scams and lying liberal New World Order scams. Let them keep, and you know what? They're going to do even more horrible things to make us love them, to pose as our saviors. But the genie's out of the bottle, Pandora's box is open, and the truth, you can't kill it. It isn't going to go away. You just watch. No matter how horrible the stuff is you pull, boys, no matter how bad it gets, more people are going to blame you because you are the enemy combatants, you are the terrorists, you are the usurpers, you are the overthrowers of the republic, you are the traitors and the seditious enemy agents of the private corporation, the crime syndicate known as the New World Order.
It's interesting. Like, as I was listening to that, I was thinking that it may be true that you can't kill the truth, but apparently what will do the trick in terms of killing something being presented as truth is for Alex to decide it's not profitable to pretend it's the truth anymore. These globalists don't need to do anything nefarious to get Alex to stop covering something. They just have to wait until his audience gets bored of it and he moves on to another subject. They just need to wait until the theories he's presented as definitively proven are so embarrassingly debunked that he needs to pretend he never believed that stuff to begin with. That's the trick.
Yeah. Wait him out. Uh-huh. He'll get bored.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or his audience will just demand something new and exciting, and they're not excited by that thing anymore. So that rant about the enemy was nice at the end, though. Like, it's weird that these folks don't seem to be working for the devil.
Not anymore.
Just a good old-fashioned banking cartel with human motivations and human plans.
Yeah, good days.
It's almost like you wouldn't have to really be that crazy to buy into this stuff back then.
Right. You could...
kind of like he's really getting you on the hook.
Yeah, a banking cartel causing problems. Very real. Mm-hmm. Not only not surprising, almost certainly happening constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
now,
totally.
Now, recognizing that secretly he believes that it's a battle between angels and demons and
devil
supernatural forces.
J.P. Morgan Chase does not sound true to me.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. All the devil.
All evil.
So a lot of this show is calls. Alex has no guests on this. This call was fun. This guy wants to know what's going on. You got inside sources.
Sure.
Tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Help us out.
Yeah, that's reasonable. That's a reasonable question.
Alex does not have a good answer.
Oh.
Yeah, hi, Alex. How you doing?
Pretty good, my friend.
All right. Let me ask you, do you have any impression or maybe some of your...
I can't do John Oliver.
Government or whomever, maybe some of these high level, maybe mid level minions are getting cold feet.
They are. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't have specifics because I can't give you specifics in the places that I have specifics. But they've been all over the news blowing the whistles. I mean, what I'm saying is I can't give you the people I know personally deep inside government. Because they're sources, but I can tell you about Robert Wright at the National Press Club on C-SPAN.
Oh, cool.
I can tell you about the C-SPAN guy.
I can tell you about something I saw on C-SPAN.
I can't tell you anything
Listen. Inside that I totally, it's totally real that I
know
have
all
these
it.
Sources.
I know all of it.
But I can tell you about book talk
Listen.
That I saw.
I know your question was, are minions getting cold feet? Despicable Me has not come out yet.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be different.
Stepped on your minions.
Anyways,
sorry.
No, you're doing great.
Kevin was one of the minions, right?
I have no idea.
Gru is a character, huh?
Gru is a character. Which character?
I don't know. I haven't seen those movies.
What'll happen?
So, look, Alex doesn't even want to talk to sources, really. Why would you? It's dangerous.
They're exhausting.
Right. And plus, everything is so obvious. 9/11, obvious.
What? It's open source.
But frankly, it's been duplicated so many times, I don't even want to talk to them anymore. It's dangerous for me. It's dangerous for them. We know who did it. The evidence, the prima facie evidence, it's like going to a crime scene that's an orgy of evidence, as they say.
Who?
And you've got the killer, there at the dinner table, eating the body of the person they've killed. I mean, it's and they've shot 500 hours of video of it. It's ridiculous. It's an orgy of evidence, which I actually have pierced the veil on psychological warfare parameters.
What?
And I believe it's actually a judo move by high-level Illuminati that this is meant to come out. And at a certain level, we're empowering the Illuminati on this broadcast.
What?
Unless we're conscious of this. Do you know how we're empowering... Do you know how we're empowering the Illuminati?
No.
Joe? Okay, let me tell you how we're empowering the Illuminati.
I'm worried.
Let me tell you how we're empowering the Illuminati.
I don't know what's going
Where
on
is this
anymore.
Going? Where is this going? I've pierced the psychological veil behind this orgy evidence that is going to fuck up all of the people who... what was the plan again?
Also, 500 hours of footage of someone eating somebody... Like, that's too long.
That's too long.
I don't know if it would take that long to eat somebody or if the meat would stay fresh.
Probably be
bad.
Yeah.
Look.
What's cook time?
Also, I love this. Like, I don't even want to meet with them. And they're like, now in the present, like, I meet with globalists all the time.
I know. I don't even want to meet with someone.
I have so many great meetings where we have caviar and they tell me I'm great.
It's dangerous.
I have conversations at the adult table. Not like you little babies who think dumb things.
No.
No, I know psychological warfare things about how we're empowering the Illuminati.
Sell me on this.
All right, I'll
try.
Sell
me on this.
I mean, look, there's two aspects of it.
Okay.
Here's sort of the first one.
All right.
Number one, we are engaging in revelation of the method and mass desensitization to a overall horror that the subconscious is already aware of. So we are being allowed to do this to introduce it so that there is not a mass insanity that then causes a break into open rebellion. Now, that's on one level. But, again, it's overheating their system, and there's a sub-twist in the twist, and it's blown up in their face. Ha, ha, ha. Now, this is very dangerous.
Okay.
The sub-twist in the twist.
There's a sub-twist in the twist.
Uh-huh. It's like a kick-flip McTwist.
What Unbreakable came out in 2000s, right? Something like that?
Right. Okay, so do you understand what he's talking about at all? Could you translate that?
I believe that what he's saying is that by telling people what the Illuminati is doing,
uh-huh,
and people not really being able to do anything to stop it, we are desensitizing them to the need to stop it.
No. Okay. I mean, that's an interesting thought, but no, that's not
okay.
What he's saying.
All right.
He's saying that intuitively, on a subconscious level, everybody out in the world already knows in their bones and in their spirit what the Illuminati is doing.
Right. See, so, but that's not true.
Fine.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what Alex is saying.
Okay.
So everyone understands that, and what Alex is doing is revealing the method. So he's putting to conscious mind what unconscious mind already knows.
Sure.
Right? So he's telling everybody all this stuff, which is actually a favor to the globalists, because then once the prestige happens.
Sure. And the sub-twist.
And it's... no, that's the twist.
No, the twist
the sub-twist is Alex's
sure.
Games.
Sure, okay.
So once the prestige happens and there's the revelation of like what the globalists are up to.
Right.
The Illuminati is up to. Then there won't be open rebellion and like a civil war breaking out or whatever, because Alex has already revealed this to people, so it won't be such a cataclysmic.
Right.
It's like basically
by telling people you're preparing them for their ultimate takeover.
Well, it's basically like the idea the QAnon folks had of like people are going to look at us like we're crazy, and then once the prestige happens, basically,
sure,
they'll realize that we knew all along and we were right.
Mm.
It's that same kind of idea, but it's serving the globalists' interests, because then there won't be a big kaboom
right.
when the reveal happens.
Because people won't be surprised.
Right.
They'll have already known what was going on.
Right. So that's part of the globalist plan, apparently. But the sub-twist within the twist, Alex is, I think, referencing, like, he has baked into his content somehow a way that even this isn't in the globalists' best interests or something.
Okay.
Who knows?
All right.
But
okay.
But there's a second.
What's important is that he has outsmarted the globalists somehow.
I can tell you how. They're not real. And
well, that's an easy way to outsmart someone.
And their plans are stupid.
Well, he's the one who's making up the plans.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, if you create an enemy for yourself that's stupid, you can outsmart them every single time.
Every time.
So here's the second.
Never lost a game to myself in chess. Not once.
Here's the second way that he fears he's helping the Illuminati.
Now, at another level, what happens is the New World Order wants to discredit America. The New World Order wants to demonize America. And for some of the unsophisticated minds in the world, and the liberals, and some of the Europeans who are more sophisticated but are still not sophisticated enough, they hear and think that America, the red, white, and blue, carried out 9-1-1, thus America's bad, UN is good, then the UN comes out against the war, against the imperial moves, against the lies, and makes the UN look good, so in a judo move, they take the energy and allow 9-1-1 evidence to come out, they allow it to sit there simmering, destroying America's outlook The view people have of America worldwide, while empowering the more centralized arms of the New World Order. Is that clear?
Yes, indeed.
I would say,
don't you dare say yes, indeed. How fucking dare you say yes, indeed?
I mean, it's clearer than the first one, I think.
Right.
There's no twist in the sub-twist.
No, there's no sub-twist, which is nice.
So translate this one for me.
So
you can say no.
Right. If I understand correctly,
uh-huh,
the UN,
yep,
is allowed. Well, let's call it the Illuminati.
That would be better.
Right, the Illuminati.
The UN is a sub branch directorate.
Directorate of the they're the sub twist of the Okay, so the Illuminati.
I want cinnamon twist.
Has revealed they're delicious.
No, they're not. They suck.
Has revealed that the United States did 9/11, right? In order for the world to hate America, including America, the concept, mm-hmm. right? And then Americans themselves will say, we don't want America anymore. We want to join the UN that we are already a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
More or less. But I think the subtle difference, the distinction is the globalists and the Illuminati they're not putting out that America did 9/11.
Right.
They're allowing people like Alex to get that message out, which then tarnishes the image of America.
So then Alex is doing their job.
Well, but he's trying to be very clear that it's not America that did it.
But he's still doing it.
You bet. And I would say 100% of his audience own a shirt that says Bush did 9/11.
100%. Yes. He's doing the thing that they want him to do.
But he thinks he's not, because he's distinguishing between the globalists who have taken over the United States government and Americana.
Right.
Right.
The lore of America.
Yes.
More important. That you can't kill the lore.
The lore didn't do it.
The lore didn't do 9/11.
Right.
That's our shirt.
So the caller has an interesting quote to help Alex feel better.
Thomas Jefferson?
No.
Ooh.
If you recall, on our last 2003 episode, a Canadian called in and wanted to get into a fight with Alex about how he's a coward for not supporting the war.
It was very funny.
It was quite
hilarious.
Quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
Alex is still a little raw about this, I think, because this caller wants to make him feel better with a Teddy Roosevelt quote.
Okay.
I guess yesterday you had that gentleman from Canada calling you a traitor and a coward, blah, blah, blah. Because you weren't going along, you weren't a Bush worshiper supporter. I found this really interesting comment by Theodore Roosevelt, where he said to announce that there must be no criticism of the president, or that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public. I thought that was very interesting.
And he did say that quote during an election, and did point out that it was very patriotic to criticize the government, the founding
fathers. Did you need to say this?
In the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution, that we are the government, and when the government becomes destructive of the republic, it is our right, our duty, not to overthrow the Constitution and the republic, but to restore it against the usurpers.
So that is a real quote. That's an actual quote from an editorial that Teddy Roosevelt wrote in 1918. The problem I have is that is not an election year.
Nope.
Woodrow Wilson won a re-election in 1916, and Teddy Roosevelt had been out of office for about a decade at that point and 1 year away from death. The context for this quote is actually really ironic, if you know where this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
This caller is using it to defend Alex from that Canadian guy who said that Alex was a coward for not supporting the war in Iraq and supporting Bush. Well, in Roosevelt's case, he was writing this editorial about how it's great to question the government and the president because he was actually more in favor of war than Woodrow Wilson, and he'd gotten some flack for that.
Yeah.
In the previous 2 years, he'd been writing editorials about how the U.S. needed to get more involved in World War I, arguing that Wilson wasn't being strong enough. The editorial that this quote comes from is his defense of himself on accusations of him being disloyal for calling for more war than the president was waging.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is that we can all agree that it's fine to criticize a president. It's just funny that Alex is lying about when this was written, and he takes this quote about justifying a desire for more war and turns it into something about like Roosevelt saying it was cool for people to overthrow a government if they just decide that it's full of usurpers.
Why did he do that? He just can't stop himself.
No, he can't. He's
somebody
a compulsive
says,
liar.
Just a Theodore Roosevelt. Oh, yeah, that was said whenever Theodore Roosevelt was taking a bath. You know what's fun about Theodore Roosevelt taking a bath? He had two bathtubs that he put side by side. He was the original Viagra commercial.
I think that a part of it was an impulse to be like, he was selfless in saying this, and that even when he was running for president, he said it's good to criticize the president.
Which he didn't and wouldn't.
Yeah, but I think I don't know. I think
he wasn't good with presidential criticism when he was the president, strangely enough.
I think that Alex just thinks it's a more interesting story.
It is.
He wants to be interesting really badly.
Right, right, right.
And I think that might come from his high school years. But
it usually does start there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do find it a little bit frustrating that if I did take the time to like really lay out every time, there's just like, well, that's an extraneous detail that he's making up. We would never finish show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'd be here for a long time.
It would be a 24-hour live stream in perpetuity of just like, well, here's a weird detail.
We begin in May 1998.
So I think Alex really enjoyed that idea that he laid out of the globalists want to make the U.S. look bad to
right.
make everyone want to join the U.N.
Right, right, right.
I don't think I've heard him say that too much, but he expounds on it a little more, and I have some thoughts.
Trying to make this as simple as possible, the New World Order doesn't mind at a certain level allowing thinking people to know that the globalists carried out September 11th. Okay? So, because what they do is they then demonize America like America did it and like the U.S. government did it.
There's so many fantasy layers to this belief, but if you really think about it, Alex kind of really does need to create this elaborate maze in order to defend his points against obvious rebuttals.
Yeah.
For instance, you have to ask yourself why Alex is allowed to be on air and profit from yelling about how Bush did 9/11 and then just go home and live in peace, when according to his telling of it, the New World Order is a bloodthirsty cabal of murderers who will defend their banking cartel at all costs. They orchestrated both world wars, so you got to imagine they could handle taking out an idiot in Texas if you were doing something they didn't like.
Of course, and that's why they're letting him do it.
Exactly.
Ah.
They don't kill him because they're okay with thinking people knowing about 9/11. Alex isn't popular enough for him to use the I'm out in the public, so they have to let me live kind of thing.
Right, right, right.
So I think this is kind of a decent option for him to go with to explain his own existence within this scheme.
No, it's not terrible.
So now the globalists not only did 9/11, but they did it in an intentionally sloppy enough way so that the thinking people in the world would see the obvious clues they left behind, and they would use these to argue that the U.S. did 9/11.
Right, which is a great plan.
But it's a judo move.
It's a judo move.
It's a judo. In reality, they want people to say that the U.S. did 9/11 so that they can make the U.S. look bad and trick people into liking the U.N.
Right.
There's so many moving parts in this plan, and none of it makes sense.
None.
If Alex was right and the New World Order secretly wanted people to think that the U.S. did 9/11, wouldn't the people who said that the U.S. did 9/11 be promoted and pushed by the media and not completely marginalized? You'd think that the globalists, who control all world media, wouldn't want 9/11 conspiracy theorists to be treated like completely unhinged idiots, because their claims being accepted is actually an essential step in achieving the globalists' aims. And yet, every news story from around the time about 9/11 conspiracies treats these people as completely wrong or as malicious liars.
Right.
That shouldn't be the case if what Alex is saying is accurate.
No, no, no. You don't understand. Only thinking people need to know this information, right? And the only way to get thinking people to know this information is to have the mainstream media deny that information. Because thinking people will then go, oh, well, the mainstream media is always lying to me. So if the mainstream media is telling this side of the story, that means obviously that the truth is that the United States did 9/11. However, not the United States government. It's actually the Illuminati who are doing this.
Hey, we're out of coke. I understand. You have a great chart.
Listen, I would have been a lot better at categories. I'll tell you that right now.
Also, if the globalists really wanted to make people not like the United States, they could just have like a more realistic, frank discussion about U.S. foreign policy and our history. That would probably tarnish people's impressions of our country real quick.
Yeah, there's
no need to do a 9/11. That is unnecessary.
Put like the real story of Banana Republic. It's in every high school textbook, and everybody will be like, oh, yeah, I hate America, too.
Wow,
good call.
Can't believe it.
Good call. 100.
Yeah. So I think I kind of agree with something that a caller says.
All right.
A little bit.
I'm listening.
Here.
The first point was I wanted to point out how recently with Uday and Crusade, with them being killed, it really shows what a sadist culture we live in when people are celebrating the deaths of these two men and they totally forget that we've already lost hundreds of our men and we're losing men every day.
But it's it's a big Super Bowl win. Yeah, they said in the news Bush was down, but he just had a big victory. Poll numbers are going back up. By the way, Mike, I don't even buy that these guys are dead.
So Alex is still not believing that Saddam's kids
were killed. They're fine in the Bahamas.
Another great prediction from Alex's history. Instincts are so sharp.
Trust me, he knows. Uh-huh. Okay?
Yeah, man.
It's the Illuminati.
But I do agree with this caller that there is a kind. It was pretty grotesque, the releasing the death footage or the dead images of them. And I understand that there was a reason why the government did that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But like, I still don't care. I understand the reason as an explanation. Don't think it was the right thing to do. And Alex is really dumb.
Yeah.
So
all those things can be true simultaneously.
So Alex believes they're fake. And he gives just the perfect real-world analogy.
Let's explain it.
The administration says they're going to serve up photographs of Uday and Ussay as proof to the Iraqis.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, no independent forensics or any such trivial matters as that. Anyway.
But they're getting them ready. It'll take a few days.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
And they better do a good job. I bet they're going to be blurred. That way you can't go in with a computer and show the editing.
Well, even if
which we've done with past photos. Go ahead.
Even if they're crystal clear, that doesn't mean they weren't cooked. Yeah, okay. Now, these two bills...
Hey, wait a minute. Wait, I'll hold you over, Roger, and let you finish.
But sure.
You know Mad Dog Ben Richards, the brutal slayer of 50 men, women, and children? I mean, he did it. He's going to be on the Running Man tonight, ready to pay his debt to society in full.
Yeah.
We don't lie.
It's all good and well to present a theory that the government's going to fake some kind of evidence, but I think it doesn't really make for a compelling case when you just come up with, like, you know, trying to come up with a real-life example and you just reference a movie.
Well, I mean, there was that time that Sub-Zero was chasing down, John Richard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the ice rink, and that's... The ice rink is the Twin Towers.
Sure.
Okay? And so he's skating on the ice rink, and that's Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Richards, he tied him up in the goal net, which is Alex Jones.
But there's a sub-twist to the story.
Yes.
You may notice that Alex does this all the time, because he believes that movies are speaking cryptic messages to him. The New World Order is taunting him and revealing their truths through the movies that he chooses to see, so saying it's just like Running Man may as well be Alex providing actual instances of the New World Order doing the thing that he's claiming that they do all the time, because he's out of his mind.
Yeah.
The Pentagon did release photos of Uday and Kusei's bodies, which a lot of people rightly thought was gross. Alex and this caller are just pretending that they didn't also do dental exams and x-rays to confirm that these bodies were in fact Saddam's kids, because it sounds more fishy if it was just a picture.
It sounds way better if you say, oh, they're spending days preparing them. They're not doing any of those normal things.
The photos are legit out before this episode is over.
Of course.
Also, there were things like one of the bodies having an 8-inch metal bar in its leg, which Uday got after he was the target of an attempted assassination in 1996.
Right. And Kusei's dick is huge.
Hey, now.
What?
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 There were plenty of pieces of evidence that these were Saddam's kids, but the Pentagon was also really set on making sure that people who were fighting against them in Iraq accepted that these were Saddam's kids, because that would have a demoralizing effect.
Right.
And I understand that that is the reason why you would release the photos.
Right.
Again, I think it's gross.
Yeah.
I suspect that the clear intention that was evident that they wanted to prove that this was Uday and Kusei set off the distrust alarm in people like Alex and this caller, and they can't accept what's being said because they are so trained to be defiant and oppositional.
Right. And it's almost a preemptive attack on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that idea of like, we're going to release the photos so you can't lie about it. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to immediately go like, I'll fucking lie about it for sure.
Well, I mean,
I'll lie about more now.
It's this defiance thing. It doesn't even really matter. I don't think what's being said, like if Biden and the international community, I don't know how this would happen, but somehow if they sided with Russia.
Sell me on this one.
Like, if they were like, Russia was right to invade Ukraine.
Right.
You know, like, Alex would be defending Ukraine.
Yeah.
Just like,
you know, yeah, you're probably right.
It doesn't matter. It's just whatever is being said by the people that he doesn't like, he's got to take the opposite side, and it's tiring.
Biden's like, we're teaming up with Russia to fight the Nazis in Ukraine, and Alex is like, I love the Nazis in Ukraine! I made the Azov Battalion!
I did qualify that I don't know how that would happen. but yeah, Alex would take the opposite side.
100%.
So Alex gets another caller, and this means nothing. It has nothing to do with anything, but I really enjoy this guy's thought pattern.
Okay.
You know, I'm convinced of one thing, that one of the intelligence agencies started the New Age movement. Because it's a great
way. The Army did. That's a fact. We have the official textbooks.
Yeah, because, you know, and I first got a tip on that about several years back when I drove past regularly one of these New Age bookstores and no one was ever in it. And I said, how could they stay in business? They got to be subsidized.
Well, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. So there was an unsuccessful New Age bookstore in this guy's town. He was like, fuck, that's the CIA,
obviously,
man.
Obviously, the CIA runs it.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of other conclusions you could come to. Like a tax shelter.
It could be a tax shelter.
That's obviously
a great
the first
place to put
option.
Aren't all bookstores tax shelters now?
Or it could be a situation where the person's independently wealthy and it's just a passion
Why
thing.
Why not? Yeah. I'll run this New Age bookstore in the red just so I have somewhere to go every day.
Sure. Maybe their spouse is a really successful person in business, and
totally.
It's like, well, here, you do your pet project or whatever.
Yeah, maybe it'll be profitable someday.
Sure. Yep. There's all kinds of explanations that don't require the CIA is subsidizing this bookstore in my town,
but
wherever the fuck you live.
But, you know, and you say that, but, you know, 99 times out of 100, sure, I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm right that one time, I saved everybody's life.
Also, let's talk about what importance this small town bookstore or whatever has to the larger New Age movement.
All right. Now we're getting into the real nitty gritty of this conspiracy, my friend.
Did this bookstore that this guy never saw anybody in, is it like the central hub of the New Age movement?
I mean,
is it like the Haight Ashbury for the hippies?
Here's the problem. What he's got to do, underground bunker. There's something underneath there that is, so his small town, he's got a giant oil deposit directly beneath the New Age bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA starts the entirety of New Age thought in 18, let's call it 94.
Well, the Army did it. We can prove it.
Yes, exactly. We can prove that. And that is how they get all the oil for tanks. It all comes from that one New Age bookstore.
Wow. Yeah. And we never would have cracked
the
code.
We never
would have
cracked
the
code. That guy wasn't like, that's weird.
I'm proud of him. I'm not proud of this caller.
Oh, okay.
Alex, I have been trying to get a cable access show since 1998. Now, such things as a black Christian group from a church that does a little singing and piano playing.
Oh, boy.
Can walk in and get a cable access show and no trouble at all. Or some idiot talking about an invisible dog fence can walk in and get a show. And I have been trying to show a film about Waco since 1998. I've got a stack of your films down there.
Well, what do they say when you go in there?
Leave us alone.
You're on the list, Mr. Campbell. And it's been since 1998.
Well, you need to go in and get their bylaws and their rules and file suit against them.
Get those bylaws.
I've been to the county attorney. I've been to the county commissioners.
Well, don't go to them. Just file suit on them. You'll be on the air in about 10 minutes.
Well,
and then if the films have an effect, they'll shut the access station down. They've done it a bunch of places, and from New York to New Jersey, and my name has been listed in the news articles because of my films. They have emergency meetings. In one case, feds show up and they shut the stations down, all because they don't want you to see these videos.
Wow, he must be really disseminating some pretty seriously dangerous information if the feds shut down these stations just because they're playing Alex's videos.
The whole station.
Oh, boy. So I like this. I like this idea. Like, this guy obviously, for whatever reason, I mean, it could just be a situation where they don't have a slot for him.
Sure.
And some people might be more aggressive about trying to get their slot. Maybe he's going about it the wrong way, talking to attorneys and such.
Yeah, that is a weird way to go.
Now, what Alex is describing isn't like give them a lawsuit that is merit-based. He's essentially saying threaten to
slap
sue them
lawsuit.
And they will put you on air because they don't want to deal with it.
They don't have a law against slap lawsuits anymore or yet in 2003. So
depending on the state, you might be able to let that shit fly. So yeah, this is basically harass them with threats of litigation,
yes.
And you'll get on air, and then you can play my stuff, and
right.
Then in doing so, you will destroy the station,
yep.
And it will get shut down.
Correct.
I like this media economy.
It's a very reasonable yeah. series of events that would totally occur, as he described. The FBI would show up at a local access TV station.
Hey, are you playing InfoWar stuff?
How dare you, sir?
You're going with me.
You are in the back.
Guantanamo for you.
Yeah, totally.
So, this is a bit racist.
Well, I mean, that last caller was a bit racist, too.
A touch. That was a touch racist.
He had the racism in his body.
There was a
vibe,
but then also it was wildly specific about an idiot with an
really
invisible
wild
dog fence.
It sounds like he's got an axe to grind against this specific guy.
Yeah, he's mad at that dude. This is a bit more racist.
I've lived in the United States my whole life. I've traveled around the world. I was in the military. But, you know, if you go back 15 years ago, Alex, and I'm sure it's like this in Texas, you go to any fast food restaurant, McDonald's, Wendy's, Taco Bell, you name it. The majority of the workers are Hispanic. The majority of them cannot speak English. Most of the time I have a bilingual Hispanic working in the restaurant, and he kind of controls what's going on in there.
Yeah, and let me break that down. Then what happens is it drives down the overall wages, breaks down the society, and if the government wanted to enforce INS rules, they would go and fine and fee and arrest all these corporate leaders. But that's not going to happen. And, folks, we used to have a couple hundred thousand immigrants a year. Now it's millions legal, millions illegal every year. And they're being filled by the Fortune 500 full of race politics, whether they're Russians or Chinese
what?
Or Hispanics. We always talk about Hispanics because they're the majority, the 400 million in Latin America, 20 million new births a year coming this way. And, yeah, it's just felony crimes being committed everywhere, but the government is legitimizing it. 800-plus cities accept fake IDs from Poland, Mexico, Venezuela, the matriculas. It's just wholesale destruction of the republic.
Absolutely, Alex. And you know what? And the other thing I wanted to make a point is I have a relative who works for the state of Illinois, and she told me she heard that, you know, a lot of these gas stations and convenience stores and Dunkin' Donuts are all being bought up by Pakistani or Indians. And they're supposedly tagged, at least in the state of Illinois, she said. She knows that they're tax exempt for 7 years. Now, Alex, if there's any truth to it, then she said they milk the system, and what they'll do is they'll bring a brother.
No, sir, that's true. Foreigners get a 7-year tax exemption.
What?
Orrin Hatch, senator from Utah, wants to give the illegals more tuition. I read the bill, not just as much, more tuition than citizens. It's a magnet to bring hundreds of millions of people in who will then pull the lever for gun control and big government and everything else.
So it's horrible, Alex.
So you may notice that this caller is just bringing up a feeling that he has that all fast food kitchens have a lot of Hispanic employees, which Alex then immediately pivots into a conversation about his fears about immigrants. It's fascinating how Alex just hears about a minority group getting mentioned and his mind flips through the talking point Rolodex and this is what comes out. This then spirals into Alex complaining about his perception that immigrant crime is completely out of control and that all these fake IDs are accepted for immigrants and this is destroying the country. That's where his mind goes when someone brings up a feeling that a lot of fast food workers are Hispanic. And that should tell you a lot about Alex and his racist-ass brain.
You bet.
Also, the idea that foreigners get tax exemption is a completely racist myth that circulated forever to demonize non-white business owners, but it's not true at all. The irony here is that it actually has its roots in another reality of immigration that people like Alex and this caller pretend isn't real, namely that if you're not eligible for most federal benefits from the government until 5 years after you immigrate.
Yeah.
Because the right-wing media, they need to portray immigrants as solely a strain on the system, this entire thing needs to be inverted. In reality, most folks aren't eligible for benefits, and if they run a business, they have to pay taxes. This gets reported by racist xenophobes like Alex as them getting rich on welfare immediately and being tax exempt for 7 years.
Yeah.
It's just bigot shit, and there's nothing real about this at all.
Yep.
And again, at the end here, you see this payoff turn into the great replacement conspiracy theory. The idea that the globalists are trying to bring in all these immigrants using incentives like welfare and tax exemption in order to bring in a population that'll vote subserviently for things that'll take the country away from the rightful whites like Alex.
Mm-hmm.
In more recent times, with a lot of mass shootings and violence directed at immigrants and being inspired by people's anger at immigration, this great replacement conspiracy has gotten a lot of attention. It's important to recognize, though, that this was a belief that was very clearly and regularly articulated on Alex's show going back at least a decade. The people who are carrying out these shootings now could very easily have been raised with the kind of information space that Alex creates, where this fraudulent perception and perspective on immigration is just accepted as reality.
Yep.
It's not recent.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to Pat Buchanan, you go back to, you can just keep going back and back and back because white people are terrified mm-hmm. that they won't be able to run roughshod over the rest of the world for long.
And just that things are being taken. That
things
are
different.
There.
Yeah. Yep. And they're not even being taken.
So throughout this entire episode, Alex has been bringing up that the website is down, that Infowars.com is down. And it's been a really banal non-scandal.
Up until the hack.
They've built the infrastructure. They're engaging in tyranny against the people, whether you're for their system or against it, every day in a compartmentalized fashion. People don't know how to communicate with each other. The media keeps this illusion going. The globalists are fighting to shut down alternative media.
Wait, aren't they letting you...
And people have to start valuing alternative information and spreading the word about alternative information every way they can. And I've talked to my IT guy, Dwayne Coutts, and he's never seen anything like it. It is a massive attack, denial of service, you name it, multiple forms of attacks on the entire server farm and particular offshoot feeding the Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Because, you know, the site gets tens of millions of visitors a month now, literally. And so, you know, sometimes at midnight or something when it reloads or something, it'll go down for a few minutes and then we fix it. It's still rare. This one is huge and sustained, and, you know, it'll just make people go to the site more because they can't get to it. But Infowars.net is up, and we're putting the photos of Kwesi and the Saddam brothers, sons, up on the site. So Infowars.net's there and has been updated.
He doesn't know their names, but man, he's sure they're not dead.
Definitely not dead.
Yeah, so now we've got a coordinated massive attack on the website. Here's how he talked about it at the beginning of the show. Like, I didn't even cut clips of him talking about it because I thought, like, they got a little tech issue.
Yeah.
That's basically all that was going on.
Before I take 20 calls on air about this subject, let me just cover it now. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are rarely down, but as the traffic has grown, we've had to expand the size of servers and server farms, and every time we grow out of our britches, we have some problems. But the current outage, I'm told, is because of some of the backbone of the Internet itself, where our servers are located. There's a problem in that city. And we've already gotten a bunch of calls at my office, and we've gotten calls at the network and a bunch of emails that people can't get to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, and I apologize. But that should be up very, very soon.
Yeah, it's just a tech problem.
Okay.
When I heard him talking about it throughout the beginning of the show, I was like, you're leaving money on the table, man.
Right.
In the future, you would never do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is victim time, baby. You're under attack. Because, I mean, obviously, if someone, you know, someone's attacking the website, it's the globalists.
It's got to be.
And if the globalists are doing it, that means they're only doing it because they're scared of the information you're putting out.
Right.
It's why you do this.
Right. Here's a problem I have with this.
I have a problem, too. You go first.
Okay. How can the globalists both be furiously trying to shut down alternative media sites and simultaneously using alternative media to disseminate information that they need disseminated?
Well, it's because by attacking it, it'll only make Alex more popular because they know that the globalists attacking him will make him look more legit.
Right.
And so they're doing it as a favor to him to help get this message out.
Right.
So people will turn against the United States and enjoy the United Nations.
I mean, you know what? When you put it like that,
it all
makes
sense.
Airtight.
Here's my problem.
What's that?
Ain't nobody give a shit about his dumbass show back in 2003.
That is true. There is that. There is that. tens of millions of hits every month.
I bet maybe there are millions of individual page views,
sure,
but not visitors.
No.
But yeah, no one cared enough to take down your fucking stupid site.
Definitely not.
But here, he's very clear. It's because he's too dangerous.
That's what fighting for the Republic's all about, folks. They don't want you to read about the drones and the microchips and the slavery from their own publications. They don't want it all posted in one spot every day. Mountains of their evil. Mountains of their corruption. Because we're hurting them so bad. So a counterattack shows that, you know, they're trying to attack our key infrastructure and it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, it just proves that how dangerous his information is to the globalists.
I mean, he did say earlier that it was actually not even traffic.
It wasn't related to him.
In the city, the town where the servers were held.
Boy, it's weird, isn't it?
So it's both a DDoS attack and apparently a saboteur.
It's all things at once.
Yeah, that sounds right.
This is sort of a interesting proto version of Alex's marketing plan that he would use once he got kicked off all the social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is a come find the verboten information,
right,
that kind of thing.
Right.
It's baked into the very DNA of his show, this people not wanting my shit around.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
Any kind of setback that I can have, whether it is getting kicked off something or a tech problem, can be presented as proof that what I'm doing is fucking serious,
sure,
and dangerous.
And it'll never stop because people really don't want me around.
That is true. Wow, is it true?
Yeah.
Now, we could have suspects.
Of the saboteurs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But actually, we don't.
Oh, okay.
We know who it is.
The website to visit is Infowars.net. That's the site we updated today. That's the site that's not under Department of Defense hack attack, and it's official, folks. I don't talk about it on the air. It's happened a lot, and they're getting more sophisticated and multifaceted, and the diagnostics have been done, and it's a wholesale massive attack of the largest proportions we've ever seen.
Tricky.
Wow.
It's tricky. It's tricky for massive attack.
That is so sad.
He's doing it. No, it's the DOD. Yep.
Oh boy. That is very sad. That's the type of bullshit where I bet he got off air that day like, man, that was so great when I riffed into that DDoS attack. That was pretty. Hey guys, did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
We got attacked by a fucking angel.
And honestly,
teardrop.
Like, I've heard this. Wait, those are songs. I don't remember any of the other members of Massive Attack's names, and I apologize for that.
You're all right.
Look. This is something he's done a bit, but I've only heard it later than this. This is the furthest back I've heard the hack attack game being played.
Yeah,
and it's clunky. It's
yeah, man.
It's
but
a little
that
transparent.
That was young internet times, 03. That's crazy.
It's true.
It's hard to. That he was probably hosting it on Angel Fire and shit.
Yeah, this is probably before he had an InfoWars dating site.
Yeah. He's still searching on Netscape.
Mm-hmm. So that's dumb, and
yep.
It's fun for him, but he gets a call.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where everything goes to shit.
Okay, good. This is our twist.
There's a sub-twist.
Oh, no.
The main twist is that this caller is a sovereign citizen.
Okay.
I was watching something. I'm here in Austin, so I see all the public access stuff that goes on, and I saw something the other day. It was a speech that I don't even remember who was giving it, but he talked about how no nations are actually nations. They're really corporations, and everything runs under international maritime admiralty.
And, duh.
Birth certificates in the U.S. are actually worth $630,000 to the U.S. government. From
now, that's true.
European
we're traded. You know, this is all
I'm sorry, what now?
We're traded as collateral.
I'm sorry, hold on, what now?
On debt.
Could you stop one second?
And deals with the third world. We posted three or four times the last month. People keep requesting it. The official State Department document from 1991 detailing a declassified plan since 1974 with Kissinger and others, 73, excuse me, that if third world countries want money, IMF World Bank loans, they have to sign their people over as collateral, and they have to sterilize forcibly half the women in those 10 countries. So we don't just have the facts that we're traded like cattle on the open market. We have official government documents
Yeah, so this dude's just having straight-up sovereign citizen shit here.
Oh, yeah.
None of that's real at all, and nope. Alex is rambling around making vague references to some document, but it's actually just the National Security Study Memorandum 200. This was an analysis of population growth trends and their implications for national security. It had nothing to do with signing over populations as collateral, and the stuff about sterilization is just Alex lying about suggestions in the document about providing funding for contraception in the developing world.
Yep.
Everything Alex is saying is bullshit, and it's being deployed to justify the sovereign citizen nonsense that this caller is asking about. Really makes you wonder if Alex actually believes the sovereign citizen shit, or if this is just a desperate attempt to make sure the audience thinks he knows everything and is really interesting.
Yeah.
I can't tell. Maybe both.
I mean, that might as well be sovereign citizen shit.
No, the caller is bringing it up, and Alex is saying, you bet.
Right,
which
right,
is
right.
In function, pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because whatever the case, if you're a listener and you believe Alex, he's leading you down an insane and dangerous path. These kinds of beliefs funnel directly into the world of sovereign citizen communities, and from there, you have a much greater chance of taking in ideas about how your supposed rights might make you kill a cop who pulls you over for driving without a license.
There you go.
Alex should really be more careful and not just make shit up whenever he wants to feel smart, but there's a sub-twist.
Oh, no.
Sub-twist. Oh, no.
And I remember old-timers, 8 years ago, talking about the maritime, and that's how it really ran in the courts. And then now there have been cases like Diana Loopy, the famous screenwriter out in New American Magazine. Big report was also in the Associated Press 3 years ago. She owned 90-something acres in a beautiful three-story house on private land with public land around it. The house was homesteaded to 1906, and they went and closed public roads that on the maps were not even part of the Forest Service, did not cross Forest Service lands. But on three sides, it was Forest Service lands. They came to her house, grabbed her, wouldn't let her have her stuff, arrested her, said, you can't have a jury, we're taking your house. No warrants, no judge. And she went before the judge, and he said, this is maritime. We have seized your land.
I'm sorry, what?
And that was in the federal ruling. So, and there's many of those, but now they say it.
Yeah, there's so many of those.
Do I understand correctly that the judge said, this is maritime law?
Yes.
So the judge
like
is sitting...
Like he was declaring this is a kumite.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. I just want to be clear that according to Alex...
The mental image is amazing.
I love it. No, yes. I really do. I see her and I see the judge being at an absurdly tall bench. She's looking up like, I just want my home,
she's
please.
She's making like a legitimate, really grounded legal
Absolutely.
Argument. And he's like, lady, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. This is maritime.
I would like to quote many different citated cases. No, maritime
Stop.
Law.
Maritime. What dumb shit.
Oh, boy.
So now we have one last clip where All we right. have to really wrestle with the fact that I think Alex does believe sovereign citizen shit.
Okay.
But this image is also really fantastic.
And under Admiralty, they are a private corporation authorizing themselves to engage in seizure of any vessel not flying the Jolly Roger. And that sounds ridiculous, but that's what Skull and Bones is, a cult
Does
of,
sound
of
ridiculous.
The Skull and Bones. And on the wall they have war. They say we are the pirate kings. And it's a society of piracy and wickedness and criminality. And they have set themselves up as the government. And everyone is free game unless they are in the criminal crime syndicate and openly fly the Jolly Roger.
That sounds true.
That's some pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, man.
That's some pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Pirates.
Should we be flying the Jolly Roger then?
I mean, what do you mean?
Well,
are you asking if it's a good idea to?
I feel like he's saying that one way to get around a lot of these problems is simply to fly the Jolly Roger.
I wonder if he's actually talking about the Jolly Roger flag.
Yeah, he must be.
Or if it's a metaphor for like the Mark of the Beast
he
or
could
something.
Be.
I don't know. I'm being too generous.
I really think he's talking specifically about...
Well, I mean, because Skull and Bones is... Like the Jolly Roger.
Right, and we can't steal their shit.
Well, but that makes me think that it is literally a skull and crossbones that he's talking about.
Okay. So I think we need to get one.
I think we got to learn more about pirates.
Well, you got to give it up to them.
It's true.
From wherever they are now.
And you know what? Blackbeard is the devil.
Right? Right? Something like that.
Well, they make you walk the plank. That's really about accepting Jesus.
So if I understand correctly,
yeah.
You, like, the cops could come to your home. And they'd be like, "It's maritime law. We're gonna take this." But then, if you like raise the Jolly Rancher,
no, cops can't declare maritime.
Oh, I apologize. It's gotta be a judge.
Gotta be a judge.
Gotta be a judge.
Yeah,
my bad.
The cops can be told by the judge,
right?
It's maritime.
So the cops have a writ of maritime law,
right? Yes, it's got gold tassels.
That they nail it to the door first, of course, to give them
notice.
Yeah, naturally.
And actually, you have to make a movie about how this person's house is going to be seized. And they have to choose to see
it in order
for it to be predictive programming.
Right. And Arnold Schwarzenegger has to star in it.
Yeah. Who's actually running for mayor or governor at this point, 2003.
Yes, at this point in time.
Although, a small update on that.
Yeah.
Alex got a call from a guy on this episode who said that Arnold isn't going to run for governor.
How did that go?
Alex doesn't seem to care that much at this point, but he also does not like Arnold.
Okay.
So I'm tracking that, but the call wasn't interesting.
We'll keep an eye.
Especially compared to this revelation that Alex is probably a sovereign citizen.
Wild.
Yeah.
I mean, and really.
He dances around it so much.
Yeah.
But this is one of the more concrete instances of you do believe this shit. And that's funny.
I think he's at this place in his head where it's like, I believe this is true. But I know that they're not going to act like it's true. So I'm not going to be the person who drives around without a license.
No.
I have to follow all of these rules. But I know in my heart that I don't really have to.
I'm not going to send notice and Social Security card back to the IRS or whatever and demand my $600,000 bank account. Yeah, he's not going to do that.
No, he's probably not.
No, although
he might later. He might need it later. Yeah,
could use it. Shit's bad.
Well.
Anyway, we come to the end of this 2003 adventure, and we learned a bit.
Sub-twist after sub-twist.
Ooh.
So many sub-twists.
So many twists.
Mm.
I really don't like cinnamon twists. But I had a hankering.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back, Jordan, with another non-present-day Alex show, as he's been banished.
Banished until the mark of
Davy
the death.
Davy Jones' locker, which is hell.
Which is hell, yes. Wait. They flew the Jolly Roger, though, so the globalists can't get to them.
But you're afraid of going to Davy Jones' locker.
Yeah.
Anyways. I'll be back. But until then, we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight, and @GoToBedJordan.
We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. Daryl Rundis, because Dr. Marbles is a bad dude. I'll figure something else out. Anyway.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.